Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
With the Pope's recent visit and the recent passage of the same-sex marriage allowance, there's been a lot of talk about marriage lately and its impact on the family and on society as a whole. Who should be allowed to get married? Why people who can get married aren't? And whose marriages aren't working out? But in reality, all of this talk about marriage is actually just a really big waste of time. Because who else can or cannot get married or how successful their marriages are has absolutely no impact on you in your marriage. The thing that is really impacting families and society as a whole, and maybe even in your family, is divorce. We like to pretend that it is no big deal. The shame of divorce, people don't want to call it a failure anymore. They just want to talk about it as another life event. And maybe even something that should be celebrated. After all, divorce parties now seem to be all the rage, and maybe you've even been to one. But the truth is that so many couples, so many young people today are so afraid of getting divorced that they're trying to do what I call marriage light. They're living together. They may be buying a house together. They have children. They're doing everything except the M word. The real impact, though, even though they're trying not to end up divorced, these relationships don't last. And if they have children, then those children are going to be just as impacted as if they had been married. And this all got brought home to me this weekend when I was reading the cover article in the Parade magazine about Hugh Jackman. And he talks about his character, you know, in X-Men, and where that rage came from. And he takes it back to when his mother left, and there was a possibility, I think she left when he was 8, and there was a possibility that she would come back and that his parents would reunite when he was 13, and that didn't happen. And it was the rage that he felt that he uses now to drive this wonderful character. But he's a grown man, and he can still be impacted by it. So today, what I'm going to do is a little bit different than what I usually do. Today, I'm not going to have a guest. Instead, what I want to do is to have a conversation with you about your marriage and what pitfalls and landmines you need to be aware of. So I'm going to kind of take a little page out of David Letterman's book, and I'm going to give you the top 10 reasons that people get divorced today. And I'm doing this, I'm going to do it in reverse order, and even though his stuff was a joke, this isn't really funny, guys. And so we're going to start with number 10. Now, number 10 is for divorce is if there are issues with addiction or abuse. Now, this falls into what I call one of the hard reasons to get divorced. And in reality, if this is going on in your relationship, then divorce probably is what you're going to need to do. Now, again, I'm not saying that you start out that way, but these are the kinds of things that really, really, really make it very difficult to be in a loving relationship. And so I'm talking about things like addiction to drugs, addiction to alcohol. I'm talking about physical abuse. I'm talking about emotional abuse. And these are the kinds of things that really are really very hard to overcome. Because here's the reason, guys. The reason why you can't do anything about this is because this actually belongs to your partner. If your partner isn't willing to get help for their problems, then they cannot be in a loving and committed relationship because they're just not healthy enough. Now, there's a little bit of a flip side. Well, the flip side's not, I should say, an addendum to this. What this actually is sometimes even if there is a medical condition that somebody isn't addressing, that anything that makes you not a healthy partner is going to impact the marriage. Now, again, I'm not saying that you should just throw in the towel if somebody drinks too much or if they are unkind to you. Although I do think that those are really strong reasons for doing something different, getting some help and getting out. But these are the things that are real good excuses for divorce. And most of the people that I know who have struggled with this, even though they know that's the outcome they need, they have tried everything that they could possibly think of to be able to avoid this. But it's just not right. And here's the thing, guys. This is a very, very, very small percentage of the people who end up divorced. Okay, so that's number 10. Number 9 is you married for the wrong reasons. Now, this is a hard one. And a recent incident with Lena Dunham, the creator of Girls, came up, and she's actually hedging around this because she was on Ellen DeGeneres, and what she said when she was on there was that she and her boyfriend weren't going to get married until everybody had the chance to get married. Well, the Supreme Court recently passed that law that allowed for same-sex couples, and she and her boyfriend still haven't gotten married, and there's a lot of pressure now as to, well, when are they going to get married? And if she decides to get married right now because of the social pressure, wrong reason. But unfortunately, a lot of people do this. Several years ago, there was a poll conducted, and it asked women were they concerned about getting married? And about 30% of women said that yes, they knew on their wedding day that they were marrying the wrong person and went ahead and did it anyway. Now, this just makes me jump up and down and scream and yell, because unlike many, many years ago when women had to get married because that was the only way we were going to be financially stable and secure, that reason doesn't exist anymore. But that doesn't mean that the societal pressures aren't still there. And so anytime anybody's asking you why you aren't married or pushing you to get married, this is where people need to say, no, 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 no. And sometimes we actually know we're marrying the wrong person. I actually had a client, and it was a man, by the way, who was following the rules. He and his wife had been together in college, and then, of course, the next logical step was for them to get married. And he struggled and struggled and struggled with this. And he went through with the wedding, and 6 weeks after the wedding, they were in my office because he knew it was a mistake. Now, he was lucky in that he recognized that it was a mistake before there were children. But we have to be really clear why we're getting married. It's not good enough just to want to be married. We have to really pick the right person. Now, a lot of people can get off track on that and kind of rewrite history. And they say, you know, because people will say, well, we never loved each other anyway. If we go back, that's not always the case. But in some cases, we really have married the wrong person. Okay. Which, talking about this rewriting of history, leads me to number 8. The reason for divorce number 8 is unrealistic expectations. Now, if you've listened to the show for any time at all, you know that I call unrealistic expectations the gremlins of relationships. And it isn't that there's necessarily anything wrong with some of the things that we have in our head. It's just that in reality, they don't work. And I go back to the fairy tale, and they lived happily ever after. And nobody ever tells you how to do it. And most of those fairy tales are all about the damsel in distress being rescued by the prince. And that's what gets into a lot of people's heads, is that you are supposed to rescue me. And it's not just women who think men should rescue them, but it's also men who think women should, there's that word that I hate, should be doing things for their partners. And here's the deal, guys. that wonderful line from Jerry Maguire, "You complete me," is a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of malarkey, and don't buy into it, because in order to be in a healthy relationship, you need to be complete in and of yourself. And you can't expect your partner to complete you. You can't expect your partner to make you happy. It is not your partner's job to make you happy. It is your job to make yourself happy. And we get into these expectations about what's the husband's role, what's the wife's role. And these expectations can sit in the background, and they change what we look at. I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again. And Mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But several years ago, my mother and I were out hiking with my sister and her family. And luckily, I was behind her, because she said to me that she didn't think that women should have to ask for what they wanted. My jaw hit the ground, and it's a good thing she didn't turn around. Because in the immortal words of Dr. Phil, I wanted to ask her, "So how's that working for you, Mom?" That's unrealistic expectations, is expecting your partner to be able to read your mind, to be able to give you what you want without asking. Unrealistic expectations really are severe problems in marriages. Okay, moving on to number 7. And we talked a little bit about this last week, about losing yourself in the relationship. Now, women are the ones who tend to do this a little bit more often than men, and I get this. I was a 19-year-old woman. I did a lot of really silly things to try to make sure that my partner loved me. And in the end, they broke up with me anyway. So this idea that we have to turn ourselves into somebody else to have a successful marriage is never going to work. And I see this time and time and time again, where I have the idea, the person has the idea that they have to do this in order to make their partner happy. And in doing this, they stop being who they are. And we can only do this for so long, because eventually we get tired. And here's the kicker, guys. Oftentimes your partner doesn't even know that you're doing something you don't want to do. This is where I get really jump up and down and get really concerned when I hear that marriage takes compromise and marriage takes sacrifice. No, it doesn't. If you are compromising, if you are giving away bits of yourself, if you are sacrificing, you're not going to have a successful marriage. And this is what happens, is that eventually you get tired of giving away pieces of yourself. You're standing on the sidelines going, okay, when is somebody going to notice and sacrifice for me? And then you just get resentful. And it's the resentment that creates the problem. And I hear this all the time in the question of whether or not it's dependence versus independence. I have to hold on to my independence, because otherwise I'm going to be subsumed by the blob that is marriage. Nope, not going to happen. This is where you develop good boundaries. You tell your partner, that's not okay, or no, I'm not willing to do this. I always joke with my husband, when we first moved into the house we live in now, he was pointing out to me all the women in the neighborhood who were mowing the lawns. And I lovingly said to him, and your point would be, because I'm terrified of lawnmowers. So there was no way I was going to be out there mowing the lawn. We have to be willing to set good boundaries. Okay, that brings us to number 6, not having a clear vision for your marriage. I was reading an article, it was an old article published in 2009 in the New York Times Magazine. And the article was written by a woman named Elizabeth Weil, and she said that We never discussed or considered discussing why we were getting married or what a good marriage would mean. It all seemed obvious. I loved him. I loved how I felt with him. Ergo, I wanted to be his wife. And in reality, there is no other area of marriage where we do this. She also wrote the article, "My marriage was good, utterly central to my existence, yet in no other important aspect of my life was I so laissez-faire." Now, this is really true. We get married thinking, and we'll live happily ever after. But we don't plan for how. We don't really sit down and talk about, why do we want to be married? What's that going to mean for us? What's our life going to look like? I remember, again, watching, I think it was a Dr. Phil show, and there was a young couple on, and she wanted children, and he didn't. And Dr. Phil looked at them and said, "Break up now." And the look on their faces was, "No, we're not going to break up." But there's no way to have a shared life vision when one of you wants children and one of you doesn't. And what happens is, a lot of times, is we put our heads in the sand, we close our eyes, we tell ourselves, well, I'll get them to change their mind later. And we won't. We actually have to be willing to talk about what we want our life to look like. And some of this goes back to those unrealistic expectations that come into play, but some of them go into, well, why should we sit down and plan? But we do that with our vacations. We decide where we want to go and what we want to do. We do that with our jobs. We decide who we want to work for, what kind of job we want to have. But we don't do this with our marriages. But if you have a shared vision, then you know where you're going. And it's like I tell my clients, you set a course. And if you know where you're headed, then you also know when you're going to be getting off course and what you can do about it. So this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning, and I'm Leslie Dorries. And today I'm doing a countdown of the top 10 reasons for divorce. And the ones that I've just talked about, the five that I've talked about, are based on your individual thoughts and beliefs for the most part. That last one, that shared vision, not having a shared vision, is equal parts you and your spouse, but it first starts with you. How you manage each of these potential reasons influences the remaining five, which are mostly a reflection of the way the two of you interact. So let's continue with the countdown. Now, number five is a pretty common one. Number five is avoiding conflict. Now, you would think that avoiding conflict would be a good way to avoid divorce, but unfortunately, that's not true. Because what avoiding conflict does is it actually just minimizes an issue that is already there. And there is really not any way that avoiding an issue is really going to make it go away. I know it's a nice thought. I really, really do. But in reality, it's not. And what happens is that the people who generally want to avoid conflict generally fall into the category of people pleasers. They want life to be smooth, and they don't want the boat to be rocked, because actually conflict makes them very uncomfortable. Now, I don't really know anybody who likes and thrives on conflict, but disagreement is an essential part of relationships. I don't care how much you think somebody is your soulmate, you are going to disagree about something. And so it's better to be able to have a way of dealing with those disagreements. Now, you've probably heard the common statement that even happy couples fight and argue. Now, I'm going to respectfully disagree, because that concept is what drives the conflict avoiders. People who don't have a good way of dealing with disagreement make it up in their heads that any disagreement automatically implies conflict. This isn't true, but That's their experience. And so they don't want to make anybody unhappy. They don't want arguing. They don't want loud voices. So what they do is they bury it. And when they bury it, their partner thinks that everything's okay, when in reality, everything is far from okay. And I liken it to the movie, now I'm dating myself here, and actually to be fair, I actually just used to watch this movie on the Creature Features on the Saturday afternoon. But the original Blob, the Blob movie with Steve McQueen, where everybody goes at the end of the movie and hides in the movie theater because there aren't any windows and they think they can protect themselves from the blob. But what happens is that the blob oozes under the door and oozes through the air vents and gets the people in the theater anyway. And this is the concept of avoiding conflict, that whatever it is you're stuffing down comes oozing out in other ways. And eventually, it's going to come out. This is where we have this idea of kind of passive-aggressive behaviors. And you're not really avoiding conflict. You're just postponing it. So that leads to the next reason for divorce. And that is poor communication. Now, if you have poor communication, you're not going to be able to handle your differences well. And poor communication is one of the two things that people generally seek help with. And what I generally get from my clients is they come in and I ask them, well, why are you here? And they say, well, we don't communicate. And the response that I actually don't say out loud, but I'm actually thinking in my head is, of course you communicate. You just don't like what the other person is communicating. And I get it. It's really, really hard to communicate our less than positive experiences to our partner. And so we might not avoid conflict, but we actually lay the groundwork for it in the way in which we approach our partners. Now, it's really, really hard to do any kind of relationship work if you don't communicate well. And when we're talking about communicating with our spouses, where we are equal partners in the relationship, it gets a little tricky. When we're the parent, no problem, because we get to tell our kids what to do. When we're the kids, we may not like it, but we have to listen to our parents. The same thing is true in our business relationships. If we're the boss, we're in charge. If we're the employee, we have to kind of follow the rules. But not being able to communicate well is at the heart of just about every challenge. If you can't communicate well, how do you resolve issues around finances? If you can't communicate well, how do you have a conversation about what your vision for the marriage is? If you can't communicate well, how do you tell somebody that what they did hurt your feelings? Now, as a colleague of mine says, good communication is not the sole answer to a successful marriage. But if you don't have good communication skills, you can't possibly have a good marriage. And that's why it is one of the most common reasons for divorce. We're coming down the list now. We're coming to the end. And poor communication sets up reason number three. Reason number three is lack of intimacy. Now, when we talk about intimacy, most people think about intimacy as sex. Now, sex is important in a marriage. That's a lot of the reason why people actually get married. But it's not all that intimacy is. Intimacy is about sharing your innermost self, whether that's sharing yourself physically or intellectually or emotionally or spiritually. It all comes under the bridge of intimacy. But what happens is, over the course of time in our relationships, we start to kind of take each other for granted, or we're actually having unresolved issues with our partner, and that makes us want to pull away. I don't want to be intimate with you, either physically or emotionally, if I'm hurt by you, or if I'm angry with you, or if I don't like the decisions that have been being made. And so one of the things that happens is that we pull away. Now, there's another thing that happens, and I just call it the kid factor, but it's not just the kids. As we get into our routine and into our day-to-day life, intimacy tends to take a back seat. And this is why there are so many what are known as sexless marriages. And it's not a good way to be in a marriage. But, and oh, by the way, married sex doesn't have to mean boring sex. But part of the reason why it becomes boring and routine is because we don't make the effort to make it interesting and new and different. This is why I always suggest that couples go away on vacation without the kids, because vacation sex can be fantastic sex. But part of the reason why we might have some issues is also there's some male-female differences, and a lot of people don't pay attention to those. Men and women are very different, both physically and emotionally. And when we take the time and learn what works with our partners and also what works with ourselves, that's when we have the opportunity to keep our intimacy alive. But remember those little rugrats I was talking about? We have to make sure that we are taking time to be intimate away from our children. Obviously, we don't want to be doing it in front of our kids, but we can be affectionate in front of our children. But we need to have some time for ourselves as adults. And that's really one of the big things that's behind the lack of intimacy as a problem for marriage. And by the way, generally speaking, it's not the physical intimacy that drives people to affairs. It's the emotional intimacy. It's the lack of feeling connected to my partner that makes me vulnerable to somebody else being interested in me. So if we're taking care of the emotional and physical aspects of our relationship, we sincerely reduce the chance that there's going to be infidelity in our marriages. Okay, we're counting down. So one of the things that we hear, and it drives me crazy every time I hear it, the number two reason that people get divorced is irreconcilable differences. Love that. For me, irreconcilable differences means you and your partner just haven't figured out a way to accommodate to each other. We all walk around thinking that our way of doing things is normal, and if my partner would just do things the way that I do, we'd be great. The problem is your partner's thinking exactly the same thing. And as I was saying to a client the other day, the reason what gets in the way of resolving these differences is, for lack of a better word, ego. Because I feel like if I do it your way, I lose. And you feel like if you do it my way, you lose. And so what we have done is we've set up this antagonistic system. Now, I happen to be one of these people who actually, I adore sports. I'm a sports fan, always have been. And if you want to think about a team, marriage to me is the ultimate team sport. And what you want on your team is people working together. I'm sure you've seen, if you're a sports fan, you've seen teams that should not do well. You look at their individual players, and they're decent, but they're not great. But because they work together, they're unbeatable. And you've also seen the opposite. You've seen teams where there are superstars, but they lose because they won't work together. And marriage is the same way. There are very few things that are irreconcilable. Now, there is one, if one of you wants kids and the other one doesn't, that's pretty much irreconcilable. But other than that, there's lots of ways of doing things. And the way to avoid the irreconcilable differences is to be willing to make room for your partner. There may be your way, there may be your partner's way, but there's always a third way of doing something. And as long as we can let go of having it be our way, then we've got a chance. And now finally, drum roll please, we come to, for me, what is the number one reason people get divorced. Number one reason, ready for it, is not making the marriage a priority. I actually had a client many years ago come in and say to me, "My marriage is important, but," and I stopped him and I said, "Now you're going to tell me why that statement is not true." If you've listened to my show, you've heard me talk about the book 168 Hours. And this book, 168 Hours, that's all the time any of us have in a week. Time is the absolute great equalizer. And we tell each other what's important to us by where we spend our time. And when I ask my clients, how much time do you spend together on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? They tell me, "We don't have time to be together." And my response to that is, "Really? How much time do you spend watching TV? How much time do you spend on Facebook? How much time do you spend with your kids? How much time do you spend doing something other than being with your partner?" Now, I'm not saying that you have to be joined at the hip 24/7. Oh my gosh, that's a terrible thing to do. You need to have time for yourself, but time is a couple. And what most people do is they do what I call informational exchange. They spend their day 5 minutes at a time with each other, where it's, "What time are you coming home from dinner? When is Sally's soccer practice? When are we visiting your mother this weekend?" It's informational stuff. It's not the deep conversations that we had when we got together. And nothing thrives on neglect. And your marriage isn't any different. If you don't show up at work, if you don't participate and do the job that you're being paid to do, you get fired. That's exactly what happens in your marriage. And unfortunately, we don't always give our marriages the attention and the care that they need. And they die on the vine. Okay. And it's the saddest thing, you know, because we spend all our time doing things that in the long run don't matter. So creating a solid and satisfying marriage is possible if you want to do it. And it's why I do this show. I truly believe that a big part of the challenge of marriage is the lack of knowing what makes it work. But if I'm completely honest with you, you have to be willing not only to acquire that knowledge, but apply it as well. I have clients who come in, I give them exercises, I give them stuff to do, and they don't do it. Now, I've told them, you know, they tell me that they want me to come live with them. I said, "You can't afford it, and by the way, my husband wouldn't like it." But no one else can make your marriage what you want it to be. I can be the best coach possible, but if you don't implement those things, you're going to be in the same place. Being good at anything takes focus and practice, and your marriage isn't any different. However, the cost of divorce is really high, and it does not have to happen. You don't have to fall prey to any one of those 10 reasons. So what do you need to do differently? What do you need to learn so that you don't fall into the divorce trap? So what I recommend is giving me a call, going on my website, www.afearlessmarriage.com. Get information, keep listening, and until next week, stay loving.